Hey, everybody, welcome, and thank you for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. My name is Zach Brittle. I'm here with Laura Heck. We're here today with Dr. Kyle LaPointe. This episode for me was pretty fascinating because I learned a whole bunch of stuff that I had no idea about. A friend of mine recently shared a quote with me that said, "The wise man is one who knows what he does not know." I know absolutely nothing about testosterone or hormone replacement treatment, and that is the specialty that Dr. LaPointe brings to the table. Incidentally, the quote goes on and says, "The wiser man doesn't care to know what he doesn't know. The wisest man doesn't know even what he knows." And sometimes I feel like that. Sometimes I feel like I know stuff, but as we talked about the sin of certainty before, this is an episode where I got to suspend that and just become curious. Laura asks some really good questions. I try to keep up. We both become smarter about our bodies and about how our bodies affect our relationships. There's a lot to learn here, and I hope that you'll enjoy it. This is a very cool conversation. Stick around.
Okay, so first of all, I would love for you to just introduce yourself, and maybe I'll tell you a little story as to why I reached out to Kyle. So I'm standing at a soccer game, and a dad comes up to me. He knows what I do for a living as a marriage therapist, sex therapist. Uh-huh. And he said, "Laura," and this is someone who doesn't often open up super, all that much about his personal life. And he just basically said, "I have to tell you, this is something you need to talk about on your podcast, is hormone replacement, specifically testosterone." And it kind of blew my hair back a little bit. And he said, I cannot tell you how important this is for people to know and make decisions for themselves, but it's information that people need to have. And so he said, if you want to talk to someone that is deeply educated in the field, you need to reach out to Kyle. So I did. And Kyle, apparently you're very, very busy because it has taken a while to get you on the podcast since this soccer game occurred. And but I'm excited to have you here. And I would love for you to just explain to folks, like, what do you do? Because you are the guy to talk to. So tell us a little bit about your expertise and what you're focused on with regard to, well, maybe you work on other stuff, but with regard to hormone replacement, testosterone.
Yeah, so hormone replacement is kind of just a way of optimizing my patient's health. I practice integrative medicine, primarily targeted towards the whole family, but I would say that most of my practice is made up of adults. I do accept patients that are pediatric, but generally they're patients whose parents are in my practice already. In terms of hormone replacement, specifically testosterone, that's usually a wellness protocol, but there are a number of men, unfortunately, it seems to be the percentages are increasing, that are suffering from low testosterone, both symptomatically and from a laboratory perspective. There are a number of people that postulate onto the causes. You can imagine what that may be from modern lifestyle to environmental toxicity to exposure-related concerns. But the end result is that, unfortunately, a lot of us could use some benefit in this field. So a lot of men do come to me asking me for hormone replacement. I always start with a holistic approach. I want to rule out a number of other causes of their primary complaints before just jumping to what everybody wants, because, you know, it is very popular, especially in male health. But it is a great way to improve our energy, our mental health, our cognitive clarity. Some other concerns that men have, maybe it's obesity, maybe they're seeing themselves with high cholesterol because they're having difficulty with weight loss, all the above.
Or maybe they just turned 50. The people on their podcast might not know this, but I just turned 50.
He's been talking about it nonstop. Yeah, I had already mentioned it to Kyle that you're the old man that probably needs to hear this message more than
anyone. I don't know. I mean, honestly, I maybe do need to hear this message because I literally have no idea what you're talking about. And I'm a man who cares about his health. And so the idea that somehow I'm supposed to be paying attention to this thing is new information for me. So I'm excited to know kind of what is it? Why does it even matter? And I think it's fair to say, what impact does it have on the relationship? Like, here we are, Marriage Therapy Radio. I mean, right. Are you married? Do you have kids? Like, what's your family situation?
Married. We have 4 daughters.
Oh, nice. Good luck. Congratulations. Yep. I think boys are the worst.
Okay. So at least he has 4 wives.
Yeah, but he has 5 wives.
Maybe. Well, I don't know. We don't know who he's married to, but yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so yeah, we have a full house for sure. We stay busy. Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Because
yes, ma'am.
You said folks are coming to you and you're discovering low T through panels, blood panels, or through symptoms. What would be symptoms if people are not getting blood panels done regularly, but maybe they're just like listening to this and going, oh, ding, 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 I have all these symptoms. What are the symptoms that you may be experiencing that would bring you to someone like yourself to do some blood work and look at the holistic approach?
So fatigability, especially easy fatigability, whether that's with physical exertion or just with mental exertion. So that can always be mired in other conditions, whether it's depression, undiagnosed ADHD, anemia, hypothyroidism. So that's why it's necessary to run those blood panels to rule out other causes. A large proponent of it is, you know, the low libido. Although a lot of men don't usually have that complaint, they just have the energy component. Lack of sexual function, and what I mean for that from a male perspective is going to be weakening erections or difficulty with obtaining those erections. Lack of cognitive clarity, sometimes or commonly referred to as brain fog. Lack of physical determination, meaning I don't want to work out. I know it's good for me, but I just don't want to do it. All these things, especially when they're linear in terms of timeline, so they all kind of occur in the same manner and kind of continually get worse. Abdominal weight retention, that no matter what we do from a diet or exercise perspective, will not go away. All these things can be a concern and can be an indicator that our T is lower than desired.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to make eyes at Zach, but he's not looking at me.
Well, listen, I'm happy to talk about all this. I feel like I resonate with a lot of those issues, and we don't need to go into like my current status, but I just did a whole entire blood panel, and what I got back didn't flag any of this. So, I mean, I certainly understand abdominal weight retention and low energy and some libido shifts, but you know, it seems like part of what you do is really... It sounds like with integrity in your practice, you really are trying to rule out kind of all of the different symptoms or causes that may be present, and that may include testosterone, like low testosterone. But thank you, Laura's. I think Laura's secondary diagnosing me on this. She's like, Kyle, ask him this question. Ask him about this. Can you see if the, you know, could you take a look at Zach's panel, please? Like, do you think
it's not an intervention? I promise.
We're not, in my practice, we're not interested in over-treating or mistreating.
Yeah.
It's easy to do both with testosterone.
Yeah.
It does, even in a healthy male, if you get their testosterone higher, you generally, they're going to feel a little bit better, at least for a short period of time. But there can be long-term consequences in the net negative for that if you over-treat.
Yeah. Okay. I definitely want to get into that because I know that, you know, just in the conversation that I've had with some folks, have you ever thought about testosterone? Is that something that you've looked at in your blood work? And they're like, oh, I would never do it. Uh-huh. Why? Because I think that there's a lot of misconceptions out there, or there's a lot of misunderstanding around, you know, just the harmful impacts. So I definitely
Is there a stigma about it or around it? I mean, is that a thing that you have to push up against?
That in my practice?
Yeah.
I usually have to answer a lot of questions. And I understand those. I think, so from the risk perspective, there are a number of men, unfortunately, who abuse and have abused testosterone. They don't have medical providers managing their care. So they're not monitoring those risks. For us, in my practice, that's a real big part of that. If you're going to optimize those hormone levels, you need to manage the risk. And that's why you're coming to a physician to do that. So it's safe, not only effective, but safe. So we run into a lot of concerns, especially as it relates to what testosterone does to red blood cell production and increased clotting risk. So that would be your primary concern if you're using high dose testosterone, is, you know, clotting risk of myocardial infarction, stroke, deep vein thrombosis, pulmonary embolism. Those are things that you see regularly in men who are abusing testosterone.
So if you have pre-existing conditions, so I'm just going to put this out here. My husband has AFib. Is that something that you would look at and say, I don't know if this is right for you, or are you balancing out, okay, you have AFib and you may have a, you know, an increased risk of clotting, but also look at all these other things that are going to be impacted if your levels are low.
Yeah. So, definitely have a personalized approach to medicine. So we're going to take each patient as they present and meet them where they're at and try to attain their goals where they want to be. With that being said, with patients with certain risk factors, whether it's if it's cardiovascular, I'm usually going to ask for cardiology approval to start the therapy and then a regular check-in. We'll probably be a little bit more exertive with our risk maintenance. So I may not push as hard with those patients. Was there another component of that question? I'm sorry.
I think I was just wondering is if you had any sort of cardiac pre-existing condition, if that just rules you out that you cannot partake in any kind of optimization.
Not cardiac. I would say the number one thing you can't use testosterone with is prostate cancer. If you've had prostate cancer and you've had a prostatectomy, then no problem. Like, we can treat you. But anytime we see a concern related to possible prostate cancer, testosterone treatment needs to stop right away. Okay. It's not because testosterone treatment will cause prostate cancer, but it will cause it to grow fairly rapidly.
Okay.
That's something really I tell all of my men on their first visit if they want to talk about T.
Yeah.
That's something like I'm really cautious of monitoring. But usually the risk benefit, you know, that's a big part of our initial conversation if that's something they're interested in.
Is there, you had mentioned about, you know, kind of looking at where the causes might be. And I just sort of assume that testosterone goes down with age. Like, is there some kind of like a growth chart that we can look at, or a bell curve, if you will, of like once you start to hit 50, you notice that there's a significant decline in testosterone? I mean, what does that look like? Is there an age?
So unfortunately, there's no definitive age. Andropause is very dissimilar to menopause.
Okay.
I like to use a very simple analogy.
Andropause, that's what it's called?
That's a new word for me. I love that.
So menopause, we're kind of going to notice some pretty radical changes. They're going to be fairly abrupt. So a simple analogy for me, menopause is kind of like falling off a cliff, whereas andropause is like sliding down a hill.
Okay.
So it's easier to miss the symptoms of low testosterone because they gradually appear. It's rare that they will happen quickly. When I've observed it clinically in practice, where it's happened quickly has been after trauma. And that's been pretty rare.
Mm. And what kind of trauma are we talking about? Zach and I have done episodes on trauma, like big T trauma, little T trauma.
Testicular trauma, cancer, our infection.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, that's interesting. I learned a new word, andropause. Now I'm going to do all sorts of research on that because that's new to me.
Okay. So I have a question actually about this, which is, it sounds like it's a thing that happens. Menopause happens to women. Does andropause happen to men? And should it? Like, is it just part of your life, part of growing old? Is it part of just being human that you sort of slide down this hill as you move through the world, or is it something else? Is it like cancer or like, you know, diabetes or something that is problematic and needs to be corrected? Or is it simply a quality of life sort of issue?
That's a good question. Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's a great question. So like to counsel people that hormone replacement is generally a symptomatic treatment. So we're trying to make them feel better.
Okay.
We're trying to address their symptoms. There are certain symptoms that hormone replacement will resolve, right? It will resolve anemia. It will resolve, it can help with obesity, which can have a downwind effect on high cholesterol, diabetes, all these other things. But generally, we're looking at making ourselves feel our best, operate at our best potential. I have seen men in their 70s who had levels of testosterone naturally that would give young men in their late teens or early 20s a run for their money.
Huh.
I think I've seen them at the pool. They look great.
Yeah, they're pretty rare. They are definitely, they've had great lives in terms of physical activity. They usually have had not a lot of exterior stressors on their entirety of their life. So they've been able to physically and mentally focus on themselves. And I think there's a large component of all these dynamics that play into that role, right? I think stress is a huge thing on testosterone. I think sleep diet, exercise, they all play a huge role in that. And so those of us who may feel like we are on point in all these levels, there may be one certain thing that's affecting us negatively, and we may not notice it, but down the line, it's going to affect our hormone balance.
So what is it?
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Zach.
Well, I was going to say, like, what do I get? Like, let's say we level it out, and I think I'm picking up what you're laying down, but I get more energy. I get more, maybe it helps with weight loss. Maybe it helps with just feeling better. Like, what do I get if I balance out, or I correct or solve my testosterone issue?
Usually we're going to see a big improvement in cognitive health as well as mental well-being. So a lot of men will have some low-lying depression and or anxiety that's resolved with hormone replacement. We see that across the board with females as well. I've used hormone replacement to pull people off antidepressants and anxiolytics. And it turns out that maybe that was the biggest part of the picture for them that was precipitating their mental health disorders. And by resolving that, we can see pretty big improvements. We've been able to reverse type 2 diabetes, although that's an extreme. Usually it's a pretty good improvement on their A1C from pre-diabetic to non-pre-diabetic, just from optimizing their hormones, giving them some more energy, kind of getting them over that hurdle in the gym. From a mental health perspective, a lot of men, I was talking with Laura before you came on, Zach, that a lot of men actually come to me with relationship issues. Mm. I think this may be why Laura was interested in having me on. And they're concerned that their relationship is struggling because they're lacking the drive for intimacy with their partners.
Mm-hmm.
And we see a pretty dramatic improvement in that right away with hormone optimization.
But it's not like Viagra or Cialis or something. It's not like, here's how to get a hard on. It's something else entirely.
Yes, sir. So those are just going to vasodilate. So they supply blood flow to the penis, allowing it to become erect easier.
Mm-hmm.
They do the job. I often use those medications in conjunction with testosterone. I'll often use those medications away from hormone replacement. And a lot of times I'll just use them for, performance-related anxiety. So patients, maybe they have a little bit of ED because they've struggled once or twice. And I just encourage men to have those in the medicine cabinet just in case. And a lot of times just having it in the medicine cabinet, they never need it.
The confidence that they need to reduce that anxiety. Yeah.
Yep. And that's kind of where that background of the hormone optimization comes in for men. They just have that drive. So it's usually... very few of my men actually have that complaint. It's pretty comparable to my normal patient population in terms of amount or percentage that suffer from erectile dysfunction.
So I think, Kyle, the interesting part that you're talking about is, you know where you used to be as far as your attraction to your partner. You know, you walk into the kitchen, your partner's wearing Lululemon pants and you want to hump her from behind. And that maybe used to be the thing of the past. And now you don't have that drive. You don't have the desire to take her pants off, or you don't have the desire to, be frisky or make out or even masturbate. Like, pornography is not interesting to you anymore. There's just a lack of desire there. And I think what you're saying is the big difference between a dilator, is that what you would call it? A dilator?
PDE5 inhibitors.
Okay, there we go. Dilators are entirely different. That's for another thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's about the connection, like the mental connection and the physical connection that is helping partners, be able to raise their T levels. And now all of a sudden they're like, oh, the drive is back. It's not that I don't love my partner, find my partner attractive, which is maybe the assumption that they have coming to you. You get your T levels balanced and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I actually do find you really attractive and I do want to have sex with you.
But that, just not to butt in, but that's also a lot of reason why a lot of women are finding benefit in testosterone.
Okay. Now let's talk about that. I was hoping that we would talk about women. So is it the same symptoms that women might be having?
Yeah. Energy, sex drive, weight gain, brain fog. Those are pretty much like the big four that all of us complain about as we age. But
yeah,
there are, a lot of people are finding benefit in replacement therapy that they didn't know existed, because you run a normal panel, and I do primary care all day long, so I run those panels all the time.
Yeah,
you know, hundreds and thousands of labs all year long. That's all I do. You won't find evidence of this. You know, oh, your A1C is good, your lipids are good, your thyroid looks good, your TSH and free T4 are good. I don't see any evidence of anemia. Your iron's good. Oh, your vitamin D's good. I don't know why you're tired. You know, and then it's like, oh, well, let's give you an SSRI. You're probably just depressed. And what does that do? That lowers your energy. That lowers your sex drive.
Right.
That causes weight gain.
Yeah.
So are we compounding the problem by obfuscating the root cause? And that's, I think, where a lot of people see, like, my holistic approach come into play. So I'm not just talking to them about hormones. I know this episode is just really focused on hormones, and I'm happy to discuss that. But I'm talking to them about their nutrition. I'm talking about their lifestyle stressors. I'm talking to them about sleep. All these things are huge components of overall health. I can do all I can do from an exogenous perspective, but if we're not engaged with the other, you know, components of your health, then we're not going to achieve those goals. So I have a lot of men who, like, they'll be on hormone optimization and everything looks great, but they don't go to the gym.
Right.
They don't eat well. So it's like, well, their sleep's still not as good, because testosterone improves the quality of your sleep, which obviously decreases as we age. You know, they're not working out, so they're not losing weight.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's not a magic pill, if you will.
No, there's no such thing. Like, everything you put into your body has a cost.
Say more about that. Everything you put into your body has a cost. What's the cost of hormone replacement? Or the cost of putting...
Reverse inhibition happens with all of our hormones. So testosterone is one of them. So basically the brain and the testes are always communicating. And when the brain picks up on a lot of T, it'll send a signal down to the testes, say, I have enough. You can shut down production. So it inhibits the stimulation of testosterone production. That can happen long term. So if you ever decide to stop testosterone replacement, there could be a reduction in your total and free testosterone long term from your use of testosterone. Long term, it appears statistically that it returns to pre-normal levels. There are some tools that I utilize medically. If patients decide to stop testosterone, that helps promote regular production again.
I have a question that I think might be ridiculous, but if I'm thinking it, somebody else is definitely thinking it. So you have four daughters. I've got two daughters. Is there any environmental issue that may lower testosterone? Like, if I live in the midst of a bunch of estrogen, or I live with a bunch of women, am I more susceptible to... Well, I don't know. Am I more susceptible than maybe somebody who has three boys in their house, or who has, you know, who I don't, I'm just like, wonder if,
like,
this is a thing.
Like, how women all get on each other's periods.
Yeah,
at the
like,
same
exactly.
Time.
Like how women all get on each other. Yes. This is the question I'm asking. Is that is that going to affect, you know, secondarily some issue that maybe the man in the house has that is testosterone related, or is it kind of make up that thing?
I think that's a great question. I haven't seen any evidence of that.
Yeah.
Although definitely we're going to be influenced emotionally. The biggest thing that's going to raise estrogen in men is going to be obesity.
Okay.
So if I have morbidly obese men come into my clinic and I check their estrogen, it's almost always high. It's pretty rare that it hasn't been. Mm.
But that's different than where their testosterone is.
The environmental exposures would be more toxicities.
Okay.
Our stressors, right? So if you classify an environmental exposure as stress, then that's a big component of testosterone reduction. So when we're looking at natural ways to improve testosterone, we're looking at trying to eliminate external stressors. We really want to focus on sleep, whether that's sleep hygiene or something else. We really want to look at diet, especially protein content and nutrient content. And then we want to focus on exercise. So I want you lifting weights early in the morning if we're trying to bump up T naturally. And then we're looking at, you know, your regular labs. Like, hey, if your vitamin D is 10, I need to increase that. Like, that's a component of your healthy testosterone production, not just your bone density and your heart health and your skin health and your immunological health, right? There's a lot more going on. Just because that's not mentioned in your doctor's office doesn't mean they're not thinking about all these other things. There's just limited time that we can take to explain each thing.
Kyle, is so you were talking about like running panels, and Zach is going to a naturopath and had his panels run. I have a doctor. Do you have to request that your hormones are run, or is that just a part of sort of like a blanket, you know, across the board? If we're running panels, we're looking at your hormones.
No, so if a patient doesn't have any complaints that I've mentioned, and I don't think that there's a concern, there's no really reason for me to screen it unless they're interested. Okay. Usually in populations that are a little older like ourselves.
Rude.
Well, you know,
are you lumping me in with Zach, who just turned 50?
To lumping you in with me, and like, I'm almost 40. So like, we're going to
start. Me too. I'm joking. I'm messing with you.
We'll start right around 40 about talking with patients about their hormones. Like, hey, do you want us to look at your hormones? And they'll be like, no, I just want you to look at this and just send me out. And a lot of people are like that. I'm totally fine seeing patients like that. But then a lot of men are like, hey, I'm 30 years old. I've been following some of these guys online.
Yeah.
I want to check my T every 3 to 6 months and see where I'm at. And a lot of these guys are super healthy, and they just want to know. And yeah. So we're just working on optimizing. Some of them aren't even on testosterone. Like, your levels are too high.
Yeah.
There's no reason for me to give you more. You're not, like, even if you feel a little bit better, the risk benefits do not weigh out. It's not, and like that, I think some of my patients appreciate that, because there are a number of providers that run specialty clinics that are just like, oh yeah, you're male, you want testosterone? Yeah, sure, let's go. Here you go. Well, is that medical care or is that just sales? I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of wondering about that, if that was something that, you know, you find like someone who has a lot of integrity in their practice and they're looking at you and they are willing to say, your levels are fine and I'm not going to prescribe this. But then I know that there are also places where it's like, hey, I know that there's this provider and they're going to diagnose every person that walks through their door with ADHD so that they can get on some kind of a prescription. Or, you know, all I do is tea, and everybody who comes in, I give them tea. So I know that that's a thing. What does the cost look like? Like, I know we were talking about...
You mean actual money, like spending money?
Exactly. I'm curious how much this might be, because my understanding, Kyle, of what you said is that once you start, it impacts your natural production of T. So if it was low to begin with, it's probably going to be lower if you get off. And so I'm looking at this as like a long-term investment. And I don't even know if you cycle through it, if it's like, you know, yeah, I'm just wondering if it's something that once you get on, you stay on.
So it's always up to men. A number of men are like, well, I don't know if I'm having a benefit anymore. I've been using testosterone, or women have been using their hormone protocols, which are generally multifocal, right? I usually don't use T standalone for females.
Yeah.
But let's say they've been on therapy for 2 or 3 years and they're like, I'm not sure I'm getting benefit. All right, stop. Let's start you on another medication to promote testosterone production for a few months.
Yeah.
And if you want to get back on replacement, come back and see me. Not a big deal. You're safe. Yeah. You're effective. Let's just check your labs real quick and make sure everything's normal. You don't want to check the prostate, and we're good to go.
Okay.
Usually they come back after a year or less. They're just like, I want to feel better.
Yeah.
In terms of cost, so it depends on what your insurance usually looks like.
Okay.
Insurance will generally cover medical visits and laboratory evaluation, depending on where your levels are at initially before you start therapy. Is where you're going to run into, will they cover the medication itself? If patients are struggling to find effective medication, we'll just price shop with them. So things like GoodRx, unfortunately, there's a lot of stratification across pricing for the same medication in a group of very similar retail pharmacies, even in a small town like Bend.
Yeah,
I have no control over that, but I can try to help my patients find a suitable alternative price-wise.
Or they can just go to like Mexico and wander into the like.
I was 100% wondering. I was at the airport in Cabo. I was wondering if they were selling.
There's like pharmacies on every corner. If you're walking through Cabo and you want to like go to the restaurant, you can stop in and get a little.
Yeah. So I had a urine drug screen on a patient who went to Mexico and bought some medication. And I was just like, well, that wasn't what you thought it was. We're stopping.
You paid for what you got.
Yeah. And we're stopping your scheduled medications because you did that.
Oh, shit.
That patient was really unhappy about it, but I'm obligated, you know, by my licensure to not be able to prescribe things when people fail a urine drug screen.
Yeah.
Like I can't identify the source. I'm not a toxicologist.
In other words, don't go to Mexico and don't do buy that, the tea basically, off is of what you're saying.
Don't buy anything from Mexico, God forbid. It's not what it used to be. You're definitely not getting anything you think you are.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't even drink any regular water down there.
Don't order the ice. You don't need the ice.
I mean, I grew up going down there all the time, you know, like just on a day trip to go surf and get some tacos, but I won't even go there anymore.
Yeah.
Or get
tea from them.
Yeah. I mean, I've had enough getting extorted by federales to trust their medical system.
Zach, do you have any other questions for this intervention that I have set up for us?
No, I'm good. I think I'm going to go resubmit my panels and ask my doctor to like double check all the stuff and make sure.
Did you get your T's checked?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you're fine.
Well, the thing that what Kyle was just doing is like, oh, this looks good and this looks good and this looks good and this looks good. I guess that's what I heard. I was like, oh, this looks good. I'll just send them to you. I'm just going to send them to you and you're going to take a look.
Testosterone normal levels are considered 250 to 300 to 1100.
220, 221, whatever it takes.
Super variable and not dependable at all from a diagnostic perspective. You're probably going to feel low if you're under 500.
You guys don't even know what that is. 220, 221, whatever it takes. So that's before your time because you're both 40 and not 50.
No, we're not 40 yet.
It's from Mr. Mom. You should watch Mr. Mom sometime.
Yeah. What is that, a cartoon?
No, Mr. Mom is this old Michael Keaton movie where he has this big job.
I know what movie you're talking about.
And then
I thought you said mob.
He loses his job and his wife gets a job. So now he's the stay-at-home mom. He's Mr. Mom. And he's going through this whole identity crisis, including not knowing how to talk to contractors about the size of their, you know, 220, 221, whatever it takes, you know.
I'm trying to think of any other questions. If people are still really curious, they're like, wow, thank you for bringing this to my attention. This is definitely impacting not only me and my energy levels and all of that, but also like my relationship. I've noticed that things have shifted and changed. What would be like the next step for folks? Are they going to just do a massive Google search? Like, where would you send them in their state? Because obviously I don't think you can treat people. Like, I don't think you can treat Zach unless you're licensed in Washington. I don't know how your profession works.
We're going to do it on the black market. I'm just going to send it like through the secret channels.
I mean, I have patients with second homes in Oregon that come here, you know, and I'll treat them on their visiting time, or they'll travel to Oregon just for their visits.
Yeah.
But patients for me have to be within Oregon's borders for me to see them. So sometimes that means they're driving from Vancouver to Portland in telemedicine. It just depends. I would say that sometimes your doctor is great and they can manage all this. Sometimes they're like, oh, you should just go to a different clinic for this. And your doctor may know of a local clinic that specializes in hormone optimization.
Yeah.
There's a number of different factors, but I would say trust your gut. If you feel like somebody's just trying to push something on you, that they might be, you know, and then find a good provider and they'll be honest with you and be able to read your labs and tell you whether or not you would benefit from it. But it shouldn't just be from a laboratory evaluation. It should be a symptomatic evaluation. You should have a totality of benefits that definitively outweigh the risk. And you should have trust in their monitoring protocols to reduce the risk of side effect.
Okay.
There we go.
Well, this has definitely been interesting. I'm glad that we're talking about it. It's on my mind as I'm, you know, working with my couples, and I have a lot of folks in my practice that are, it might just be part of my screening process now of just sort of asking,
how's your testosterone?
Sex all day long.
Yeah.
And depression too. Like, people are depressed, and oftentimes it all is interconnected, right? Like, when your relationship isn't going well, you're feeling depressed, and if you're feeling depressed, it's like such an impact. So this might be a new tool that is very helpful for couples to take a look at how it impacts the relationship.
Well, and minimally for me, it's like, I think the podcast exists because I want people to go, huh, I've never really thought about it like that before. Yep. Or I've never really thought about that at all before. And I'm definitely thinking about stuff that I haven't thought about before. And it's interesting to kind of have a new area of inquiry, particularly as, did I mention I just turned 50?
We've heard it. We got it.
It's just, you know, it's a great way to, so we see our parents aging. Right. And some of them aren't aging the greatest. Some of them are aging amazingly. We're like, well, heck, our life expectancy is pretty good. How do we want to age? Do we want to age on the couch watching Sunday football? Or do we want to age? For me, I want to be skiing with my grandkids the same way my almost 70-year-old dad skis with my kids every day. You know, like, I want to do that same thing. I want to be active and engaged. And I think this is a way to encourage that in both male and female populations. So
I like it. I think you're talking to the right group of people too, just knowing about our audience. If people are interested in you or want to learn more about you, where do they go?
So they can check out our website at lapointewellness.com. They can call our office 541-606-8971, and they can set up an evaluation with myself.
If they live out of the Oregon borders, or if they're going to be inside the borders of the state of Oregon.
Yeah. And, you know, like, we've always debated, I have a lot of patients with second homes, whether it be in Washington or California primarily, and they keep asking me to expand.
Yeah.
So we've always kind of been teetering on that fence on whether or not we open up to California and Washington. But right now it's just, we're doing pretty well by just word of mouth in Oregon. So,
yeah, you're busy as is. Yeah. Thank you so much, Kyle, for joining Marriage Therapy Radio. And I appreciate this conversation for my dear friend, Zach.
Yeah.
And maybe me, but I don't know. I think I feel
maybe
my T-level's
you ought to get your
testosterone
checked. Yeah.
No, I think they're good. I think they're solid.
All right, Zach and Laura, I really appreciate you guys taking the time. You guys have a great day. It was great talking with you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. Thank you to Kyle Lapointe, our guest today, talking about testosterone replacement. You can find him by going to LaPointe Natural Medicine. He is in Bend, Oregon. But obviously there's lots of resources at your fingertips. I think it's mostly just about piquing your interest, getting curious, digging into your labs, paying attention to symptoms, and knowing that you have something else, another tool that you can use in your toolbox to just feel better, do better, be better. Thanks for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.